Also, if you like to move from the second area, which is the mercy, under the mercy, to the closest one, al-muqarrabin, the devoted one, you will find all kind of help. I'm not going to tell you, can I see your credential? Or you have to do that much, or you have to do that much. You know what I mean? If you apply for a degree in any university, even in community college, what they say? There is a standard you have to meet. But the other one, your desire, you're loving to do it, and you are doing it, no one rejected. There is no one will be rejected. Just work it out. And work sincerely and work hard with the intention to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you are pleased. In that case, one of the keys is that you yourself please. So you work to please Him, we'll say, inshallah will be accepted. Imagine, what is it that you can do to please Him, and He got everything. And He is the one who giving you everything. What is it, what kind of kindness it is to accept? When you go to Bill Gates, for instance, and put a nickel or a dime in his hand, you know what I mean? And he say, thank you very much for it. I appreciate that. What you call that? Very modesty, right? How about the one who created that attitude? And he is the one who gave Bill Gates what, and made Bill Gates, and he got everything that Bill Gates got, and more. Open up your heart to your Lord. He has the right also, and that's his right, that you do not honor or respect other than him. You are created by him, you are living in his territory, and you are his property, under his control. He provides for you, and you are submitting or respecting other deity, or obeying other deity. Okay, it is not my job to attack. I am not attacking, and I am not also evaluating, but I'm indicating facts. Compare what I am saying with the concept, for instance, of the Trinity, which is, when we come to study Christianity, we will know where that concept came from. But in that case, okay, all the worship and all the glory and all the submission and all to go into who? To Jesus. As a media, to some philosopher and Christianity, think that Jesus as a media or for his being. But where is the Lord who created him? You know what I mean? And the same thing when you do with other deity, like Buddha, for instance, or Confucius, or a president, or an imam, or a rabbi, or a priest, or. When you glorify other than him, and you submit to other than him, he has that right. And you have no right to give it to somebody else. And I'm going to put it in a small format. When we get married, when the man look out, or the woman look out, what do we call that? We call it what? Huh? Come on, guys. Cheating. We call it cheating, right? Allah created you to obey Him, and you are going to obey somebody else. That's what? Betraying and cheating. He doesn't need it, but you are the victim of it, and you are not aware of it. like the one who cheated his spouse, regardless. Do you know that you are destroying a whole entire faculty? You are destroying a whole entire home, a relationship? Somebody else will pay the extensively for what you're doing? Okay. So you never submit to other than him, and you never hope in other than him, and you never ask other than him. Why? Because you're supposed to dedicate everything in your life to do what? To satisfy him. The bottom line of life is what? Is to get out of it. Allah pleased with you, and you are pleased with him. That's the bottom line. Okay, now I want to go to another area, which is the attributes. So now we talk about the act in the form of lordship, and I talked about the divinity in the form of what? Rights. And now we want to talk about characters and attributes. Right out. You have to understand he is one and only. One and a kind. Second, ليس كمثله شيء. Don't try to find similar or give example. Because nothing that you are aware of, when I say the word aware of, that means what? The totality of the five senses that it helps you to know what's going on around you. Your eye, your nose, your taste, and your touch, and your ear. That's the total of what you have in your head. And this is how you deal with the whole entire environment around you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, none of those is even can get you closer in your imagination. So stop this process. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. Okay, but he defined, you need to know that he defined himself by himself in two areas. So number one, the responsibility of definition, he said, too big for you. Stay out. I'm going to define it in two areas. Number one, in the revelations. Listen to how the Prophet and Messenger said about me. Okay. Number two, there is another book out there have a very well good description through which you can know me real good. Do you know what is the title of that book? Anybody want to give it a shot? Nature. إن في خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف الليل والنهار لآيات لأولي الألباب. All signs you need to know. All signs you need to know about Allah, about His wisdom, about His mercy, about His kindness, about His mighty, about His knowledge, about His whatever. It's right out of that. Now, that is a complete course, 1.5 years, 3 introductory, intermediate, and advanced. And even those 3 courses, the purpose of them is to put you in step number 1. Not even to finish. So that's a complete different area. But I just want to ask you a question. What's happening today to the bird? To the squirrels, to the ducks, to the fish in the sea, to the babies out there. And just give it one warm day, maybe it can be tomorrow, they will be out there chirping like whatever. Is that something to think about or not? For reading that book, I'm going to leave you with only one thing now to think about. All sources of life, they are the sources of imminent death. Heat. Too much heat or too low heat. What happened? And in the area of heat, do you know how many degrees you need to get up or down? Can you say 50 or 100? No way. You are gone. Light. Too much light or too less light? You are gone. Too much pressure or too less pressure? You are gone. Air pressure. You are gone. Too much gravity or too less gravity? You are gone. I don't mean when I say you are gone, you are gone. I mean whatever in the planet Earth is gone. The speed of rotation of the Earth, a little bit slow or a little bit fast. That's it. The relationship between the moon and the planet Earth. Do you know in the relationship between the moon and the planet Earth, to have a complete destruction, complete destruction, and I mean complete destruction, do you know what it takes? One of the two, either the Earth or the moon, get out of its course a distance equal to 20 miles. Imagine the Earth rotating around itself and around the Sun. And with that mass body, what is 20 miles? With the object moving. Especially when we know that objects, when they move, they get lighter. Even when you are driving your car and you push the gas, you feel the car is getting lighter and faster. That means your control of the distance is what? A whole a lot more less, right? A little fraction, a little different angle, right? And your steering wheel, it takes you what? Vroom, right out, right? You have that's moving, and you have also the moon moving. And imagine the potential and the possibility of one of them just get out of his course. I'm talking about a complete destruction at 20 miles. How about 5 miles? Major flood or major destruction. Anyway, details, another course. But we need here to understand. All sources of life, they are sources of imminent death to you and to the rest of the creatures. And they all working with each other, and they all, with the all, what they do, balance each other. Okay, motion, for instance. What it does to the heat? Why you need the radiator in your car for? To cool the engine, right? Am I right? While it is, why cool the engine? Because you have what? Motion increase the heat. How about if you are in existing, everything in it moving, and it is moving? How to control the heat there? And we come out and say, sunny day. And beautiful day, and we enjoy it. Right? Okay, another issue. And that's going to be the last of this one. We all know there is a life, and there is a death. Okay, everything alive will die, right? Okay, in average, in every single acre of land on the planet Earth, there is 30 million living beings alive. Right in the middle of the desert, or on the farm, or in the jungle, take the average, you have in any acre of land 30 million life. In the form of birds, snakes, scorpions, worm, whatever you want to call them. Right? Okay. For those 30 million, let us say only 1% out of the 30 million will die in any given day, because there is a perish also, right? Am I right? Okay, what is the 1% here is for 30 million? It's like what? 300,000? So I have a 300,000 in 1 acre of land, I have a 300,000 dead body. What kind of a funeral home I need? And what would happen day after day when they rotten? Do you see them? Do you see those? I'm not talking hypothesis and mathematics and theories here. I'm talking street talk. Do you see those bodies on the street? You have a 300,000 in any given day dead body. Where did they go? Where are their graves? Where is the funeral home that it took care of them? And where they completely disappear without leaving any trace behind, that it can harm others. And when you want to go and have a fresh air and breathe the air, where do you go? Outside. Who did that? We just messed around little bit with the calculations and the weather and environment by the Industrial Revolution, and guess what we ended up with? One of the major problems we're having on the face of the planet Earth now today is what? Pollution. We cannot get rid of the waste that we have. We are developing. Okay, speaking about factories, what is the meaning of the word factory, for instance? Factory is organization, that means it got to organize activity, some organized intelligent activity, got together to produce a product. That's a company, right there. I need an engineer, right? I need machines, I need management, I need finances, I need blah, 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 warehousing, I need all of that, right? It is a factory, right? And the factory now, they have what? They do a production, but they have a problem with what? Pollution. Am I right? Am I right, guys? Okay. Now, I want to call a tree, apple tree, a factory. Am I right or wrong? It is extremely intelligent process to produce a product with a certain specification, with a certain quality. Any problem with what I said? Where is the pollution? Where is the pollution? Not only that, the same factory is the source of filtrating the air and cleaning up the air, not polluting the air. So this factory is producing the product and doing even the cleanup. Who designed this factory? Who managed this factory? Who do the engineering part for this factory? Who do the inventory for this factory? Who do the finances for this factory? Is that enough for you to know? Am I talking about something that you cannot recognize? Like maybe Einstein theories or something like that, which is I didn't understand to start with. But something we can feel, something we can touch, something we can smell. You go to Macy or Hacy or whatever, right? And you see a little bottle like this, it got some perfume in it, right? $200. If you have the money to buy it, that's another question. But when you come in here, March, April, and you go right to the countryside or in the wild area, you have a bitter perfume all the way going on, and you smell it and enjoy it, and it filters your air for what? Free. How many gallons of that perfume got into the air? Do you know what I'm talking about, right? In the springtime, you drive through Maryland, you drive through any state, you're going to smell the wild flowers, the smell and all of these things. That fragrant, you are having it for what? Free. If you collect that, how many tanks you need to collect that fragrant in it? And Allah will give it to you for free. And is that a factory or not a factory? That little one, this little flower itself, is a factory or not a factory?
It's a factory.
It is a factory. And I didn't go to Harvard School to learn management and project management. Who gave this factory the knowledge, the wisdom to do that? Okay. I'm going to stop in that, right? And I hope that will help you to think. Think about, take time and enjoy it. And try to move from the area of mercy to the area of satisfaction. Okay, now I want to move to another part related to that, which is, what is the purpose of life? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create you? You very much have to understand. You have to understand why you are alive. Have you ever seen an employee sitting down in any given organization or corporation doing nothing? When they hire somebody, they have a job description and they are expecting production. If you don't do it and you don't do it right, what they do to you? Pink slip and have a nice day, you are out. Right? Even in your own home, things that you don't have, or I mean you don't use, what you do? Yard sale, Salvation Army, and have it out. Right? So there is a purpose for everything. What is the purpose of having you in His kingdom? To eat and drink and breed? That's all the animal doing that. And they don't cause as much trouble as you do. I really like to pass the floor and see, hear your feedback on this. I am not trying to be a smart aleck or try to put you on the spot or anything or embarrass anybody. But I really like to get some feedback. Your imagination, why you are alive? Why did you wake up today? Because we know for a fact, sleeping is a form of death. And that's exactly what's going to happen to you. And the only, I'm coming to you, the only difference in between the sleeping and death, one is a permanent, another one is a temporary. Sleeping is a temporary, the other one is a permanent. Yes, sir.
We are alive each day for the ultimate purpose of glorifying God and helping Him expand His kingdom.
Okay. Glorifying God it's part of our job, but the angel is doing it a whole a lot more better than us. And if when you look at the reality, we are the one who do a bloodshed.
That's true, but if we don't glorify God, and what we do doesn't glorify God, then we shouldn't do that.
Right. Okay. Any other attempt?
Just from a human perspective, I think life, every life has a purpose. And what that purpose is, you don't always know. But I think every waking day that you're alive, you do something, you do the right things, you know, you show your devotion to God somehow, you take care of your family, you go to work. There's all these different steps that one takes throughout their lives.
Okay.
And ultimately, if you're on the right track, hopefully you'll contribute something to this world.
So okay.
Purpose your life.
Okay.
To prepare for the eternal life.
Stay on that side. Okay. Anyone? Okay.
Doesn't God have a master plan for our lives? And He tells us what that is, and then we're supposed to do it and obey it. We're supposed to hear number one.
Okay. Bear with me. Bear with me. I'm going to get to this. Okay. There is a master plan, but when you, by your choice, take it and dedicate yourself to apply it, you get the help and you get the approval and the acceptance. You're right. But I'm going to talk about that by detail later. Okay. Here, what is the purpose of life? To understand the purpose of life, you have to understand something before that it's called the human being life cycle. There is a life cycle. Like some germs and some bacteria, they have a life cycle. And even like, that little worm that it make the silk, it has a life cycle. In one of the forms it is like a fly, like a bug, and in another it is incubation, in another it is a worm, and whatever. You the same. You are living a bigger life cycle. One day, you were a soul. Soul have no physical attributes. And the only one knows about that existence is your Lord, your Maker. When I ask you the question 200 years ago, which one of us were around? None. But we did exist in the universe. How? That's His business. We don't know. After that, by His permission, in a certain time, you became to be a sperm in your father's back. You were equipped to live in this environment and to be able to live in the next environment. In the stage after, which is moving to the mother womb, by God's permission, you moved to mother womb, complete different environment. And from the second you fertilize that sperm, which is still you, but a different shape, different format, different attributes, and even different function. When you moved to the mother womb and fertilized egg, you started developing a complete different being. And it is still you, having a complete different attributes. Not to live in this environment, which is the mother womb, but to live in the stage after, which is this life. All the attributes of your body is not fit to live in the mother womb. But it qualifies you in a second to live in this environment. Right? Mother womb doesn't have air, you have lungs, you have nose, there is no light, you have eyes. It takes seconds to adjust to the new environment. And to give you a quick example about adjustment, to view environment, look at the air environment and the water environment. If you drop in the water and you can't breathe, what's going to happen to you? Cannot adjust, drop in dead. You're not going to be able to adjust. Boom. And maybe you are right by the shore a few feet. right? Different environment. But when you are coming from the mother womb, which is a different environment, to this environment, second, then you are adjusted. Okay. You are here physically now fit to do it, but you're supposed to be prepared for the next one, for the hereafter. So in this one, all the previous one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no interference. I am the one who created the sperm, and by my wisdom or by my will, that sperm will go to this egg and will fertilize it in that time, either lawful or unlawful. That is not the issue now. In that day, that creature will be in this planet Earth or in this environment. And when you come in here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, physically, I'm in charge. The beginning of your end is my business. The maintenance is my business. Providing is my business. But preparing yourself to the next one is going to be your business. And that's where you're going to get the reward or punishment, based on some of what the issues that you were talking about, the plan. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this one. So imagine while you are alive and breathing here, you are in another, in a bigger womb. And like in the first womb, 24/7, the work is going on, you're supposed to be here 24/7, preparing yourself for the next one. How are you going to prepare? He said, okay, I'm not going to leave you alone. I am going to give you the tools. But you yourself, by your choices and decisions and discipline, developing this credential, that's how you qualify yourself. First, I'm going to give you the mind. Second, I'm going to give you a conscious. Third, when these two fight with each other and you get lost, I am sending messenger and messages. Right? And I am giving you parents and role models. So I'm not leaving you alone. It's like you go and buy a machine and it got a user guide. Sometimes we think that we are smart and we can get the best out of the machine without reading the user guide. Maybe. But what is the percentage of that? Maybe you're going to use some, but not all the potential of the machine. But the best way to use the best potential of the machine is to do what? Read the user guide and apply it. And these are the messages, and the messenger is the technical help that is coming to teach you how to use the manual and how to use the gift of life. So now, there are more reasons, but I want to focus in that class, in that level, and only in that purpose. You are alive to use the gift of life to qualify yourself to Allah's mercy. Every single day you wake up is one more chance. And you're supposed to be awful grateful that you and somebody exactly like you went to sleep last night, you waked up and they didn't. And neither one had a say or a will to what happened. Did you wake up by your choice today? And the one who died did not wake up by his choice either. Both of us, or both without. So look at it this way. You are here in temporary basis to qualify yourself through the teachings, through to what he wants you to do. He is telling you how to do this development, and you leave. You go to the next stage, which is what? It's called al-barzakh. Al-barzakh, it is the place where that body is useless. We don't need them anymore. It goes away. And after that we have the resurrection, where the union between the body and the soul again, and after that we have the internal life. This is the life cycle that you're going through. Where you stand now, you are right in the middle of it. And what you're going to get out of it is what you're going to make out of it. Huh?
Two questions. At one point, did you say that...
Sorry. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, so your point is your job, your punishment, except reward, are all after you die.
No, not necessary.
Okay.
No, not necessary.
I've always heard that, you know, if you're...
No, okay, what is the purpose of user guide in our life? If you buy a machine, buy this machine, and you use user guide, what is it for?
To help you operate properly.
To get what?
Maximum benefit.
And do what else? Minimum harm. Right? Minimum harm. When you push a button and you don't know what that is, and you damage the machine, because you didn't use the user guide. So the teachings, okay, between your brain, your mind, your conscious, and messenger and messages, you have that user guide. If you go in active, which is I was giving a class about last week, maybe you can get it through the whatever recording. The act of disobedience will do you what? Harm. And you're going to suffer right while you are living. And not only that, but he's taking you away from the preparation process, diverts you from it. You know what I mean? And bleeding your energy. Right? Okay. Now, there is a punishment or there is a consequence in this life. There is a consequence in the grave. And there is a consequence in the moment of death. There is a consequence after, in the resurrection and in the eternal. Sure. Okay. I will talk about that, inshallah, in a different course. But death and after. There is a life and there is a feeling. The only difference between... Okay, when you are asleep, do you sometimes hear? Or you find yourself seeing scenes? And you're speaking with people that you... They are not with you in the room? And maybe you are in a place that you never been through, or you've been through, but it is hundreds of miles away.
In your dreams?
In your dreams? You don't see those? You never seen anybody talking to you, or you are talking to somebody in the dreams?
Yes.
You do. What's happening here?
It's to remind you of past information.
Huh?
It's usually remind you of past information.
Okay, no, wait a minute. There is a difference between the credential, the ability, and the tool for the credential. The ability to see and hear and sense and feel, it is on the soul. The ear and the eye and the nose and the tongue, they are the tool. But that does not mean this cannot function in its own. Without the tools. When you are a dream, your eyes are shut. You are hearing nothing. But the soul is functioning. Right? The death is nothing more than a deterioration process. A separation and deterioration process. But the feeling. Who feels the pain? Your soul or your body? No, even when you are alive, who feels the pain?
When you're alive, you're both.
Huh?
The body. It could be the body and well, you're
right, but the major, no. The feeling, it comes from what? The soul, not the sensation. Remember,
also,
tools and credential, or malaka, or capability, right? When you are in an anesthesia room, no pain. And you are open and cut. That's the body. Am I right? When the people that they get high or whatever, they don't even feel cold. It is still the same sensation. Anatomy wise, he is the same person. Whatever. But what I want to drive two is this: there are a consequence of everything you do, and you will pay the bill for that. Either you use it, you have to use the life, and you use the major elements of life. Do you know what are the major elements of life? Okay. The major element of life, that your life revolves around them. And everything you do, you're going to be to cover one of those fives, or more than one at a time. Number one, your mind. Number two, your conscious. Number three, your physical body. Number four, your offsprings. You talked about the children and whatever, right? Number five, managing environment, your property. Do you have any interest other than those four, five? Mind, you try to get the right information, you go to school, you get education, you stay away from the bad one. Conscious, whatever, or the spiritual need, right? Physical, food, what have you, to sustain you and live. Offspring, to maintain the species. Environment, to use it to the best interest, right? Okay. So your life revolves around those five. And this, how to use those, that is where it comes. The value of the user guide is to tell you how to invest them. How to take what you need when you need to build yourself, not to please yourself.